Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Hey, everybody. Tim over from the Bulwark here with my buddy Roger Sullenberger, who has just a kind of a bombshell of a Substack post out late last week that I wanted to get to. The headline, really appeals to me. George Santos with a gun. The untold story of Corey Mills, a mercenary in Congress. Anything that shits on George Santos, I like. But man, the details in the story are pretty eye-popping. Corey Mills is this Republican congressman from Florida. Roger, I guess before we get into the details, like, give people a little bit of this guy, like how you got into the story and why he's significant.
Yeah, I mean, Corey Mills is kind of a rank and file member. He hasn't really caught national attention. He has in some like right wing circles on Fox News, did some like Newsmax stuff, but you know, he's styling himself as like a MAGA rising star. He was first elected in 2022. So he's reelected last year, both by, you know, pretty huge margins, but you know, he hasn't really quite broken through the main, but he managed to this year, but not exactly in the best way. He, you know, in February, he was reported for allegedly assaulting his girlfriend. She, you know, recanted the allegations, but she called the cops on him in DC for bruising her. And according to a police report, he admitted bruising her, but, you know, denies it now. And most recently, he's been slapped with a restraining order for cyber stalking and, you know, revenge porn threats against a different ex-girlfriend that he was seeing at the same time while he's also, you know, technically married. So that's, you know, that's the stuff that's really kind of broken through. He's also been, you know, they tried to censure him twice recently, I think first time in like September, and then Nancy Mace introduced the censure motion like a couple of weeks ago. So that's kind of how he's, you know, bubbled up to the surface nationally. But my reporting, you know, comes from
kind of with Hegseth there also somewhere, not just Santos, juggling two girlfriends and a wife you're not fully divorced with, you know?
You know, if you want to triangulate Corey Mills, if it's possible, you know, I know there's a lot of outrage fatigue. I know it's like, oh yeah, well, they're all like that, you know, kind of attitude, you know, we're all numb, we're all nihilists at this point, right? But Corey Mills is a unique character. He is uniquely, I don't want to say like explosive character or something, but it's all been under the surface, right, so far. And he's like George Santos, Matt Gaetz, Bob Menendez, Herschel Walker, like rolled into one person. The breadth of this story is astounding, and it's really exhausting, you know, to go through it. If you go through that first story, that's just an overview of what I'm about to roll out, and I've got four or five reports that are more detailed coming. It's really a lot to take in at once. But he's like, you know, if you're building like a World of Warcraft character or something like that, you know, you put like, you know, all your sliders up or whatever. He's like Santos, Gaetz, you know, like Menendez, but like all of them, like up to 100 or whatever. Like he's like maximal, like those people. And he's just flown under the radar. And I started looking into him, I guess back in, it was in February, that I really started looking at him. I saw OCC, the Office of Congressional Conduct, was investigating him. And I looked at his, you know, financials, like, yeah, you know, it looks like there's something to it. But then he makes news for this alleged assault. And I'm like, wait, he has that also? You know, he has these two things. Right. There's weird financial stuff. And then there's also this dimension of him. And once I started turning the rocks over, it's like there's a rock under every rock. And then there's like a rock under that rock. And it just kept going and going and going. And so here we are like 9-10 months later and hundreds of sources and thousands of pages. And it's just, it's really, really an exhausting enterprise.
Bulwark Takes is sponsored by Calm. There's a lot out there telling us how to be better, be a better parent, a better partner, a better worker, better version of yourself. It's honestly exhausting. When I need to hit pause and reset, Calm is the tool I reach to release that stress and find a space to breathe, even on the busiest days. Calm is the number one app for sleep and meditation, and it's here to help you feel better. If you're feeling like you could use some support navigating life's ups and downs, get the relief you need with Calm sessions. They include guided meditations to help you work through anxiety and stress and boost your focus, to build healthier habits, and to take better care of your physical health. Or sleep stories, sleep meditations, and calming music to help you drift off to restfulness. Grounding exercises to help you reset and relax when you're feeling overwhelmed, and so much more. Calm has over 2 million five-star reviews and can help you stress less, help you sleep more, help you live mindfully. Calm your mind. Change your life. Calm has an exclusive offer just for listeners of our show. Get 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/bulwarktakes. It's an amazing value, folks. Go to calm.com/bulwarktakes for 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library. calm.com/bulwarktakes. Tell Calm you heard about them from me.
I appreciate that you put the bulleted list at the top, because it was pretty exhausting just reading through the bulleted list of all the things this guy had done. Okay, I want to get into a couple of the details. One of the reasons I care about this, not that I wouldn't care about this if he was in an R+40 seat. I should just say, like, for the politics, though, putting on my politics hat, like, this district where he's in is basically kind of around Daytona Beach at Seminole County and Volusia County in Florida. And he won last time by 13 points, 56-43. You know, I mean, Afton Bain in that Tennessee district overperformed by about that much, right, in this last special election. It's like, these are the kinds of seats that could potentially in play, especially with a candidate like this. I do think there's potentially a political element here too, but just the details of what he did are a story in itself, maybe even a movie. I'm trying to decide where to start. So there is the financial side of this with, I guess we'll start there, with this company he co-founded with his wife in 2014 called Pacem, that's what I'll say for short, P-A-C-E-M. And it is, I guess they do arms dealing, and he's also on the committees that oversee the arms dealing. That seems pretty bad. Talk to us about what we know about this company.
Yeah, like, give George Santos an international weapons company. You know, like, that's what we're looking at. And then, you know, he's on House Foreign Affairs, right? And he's also on Armed Services. And on Foreign Affairs, he's the chair of the Subcommittee for Oversight and Intelligence, right? Which just so happens to exercise jurisdiction over State Department activity, right? Which is how his company exports weapons. It's through State Department. Like, he has direct oversight of his own industry, of his own company somehow. He's selling weapons in it's not like the traditional, like, okay, so you have Ukraine aid and we all understand sort of what that means, right? The taxpayer-backed money, and then, like, it's federally funded with contracts with, like, Lockheed Martin or Raytheon, whatever, and exports, like, billions and billions of dollars. His company sells through what's called commercial direct or direct commercial sales, and they are a lot less transparent. It's really actually pretty hard. They're, you know, the dollar amounts are smaller. But he's been shipping weapons overseas, or his company has, while he still owns it, while he's in Congress. And some of those weapons have gone to Ukraine. And he is very much against Ukraine aid, you know, very outspoken, says Ukraine is corrupt. It's a corrupt government. You know, we shouldn't be using taxpayer money to do this. Well, it just so happens that if we cut the federal aid to Ukraine, that opens up a lane for businesses like his, right, which do these private sales. So it actually tilts the playing field more towards his company to, you know, pull Ukraine. It might sound like he's taking a moral position on this, you know, against his own financial interest, but it really does, like, help his company. And he's been doing this. you know, for, you know, since 2023, right? He started, you know, when he joined Congress, his company was already doing this. And as far as I can tell, like, there's no way that he can actually, you know, distance himself financially from these sales. And part of that is because the company is in such massive debt. It's in massive debt.
I was going to say, so yeah, you would think this would be a lucrative industry, arms sales, but you have here on the bullet, the company owes $66 million.
Yeah.
Stop paying workers. At the same time, Mills has been spending lavishly on himself.
Yeah, they're in foreclosure right now. They owe a foreign company. A company in Canada has been lending them money. The debt goes back years, and Corey is personally liable for this money, right? So that means he's personally guaranteed it. He's put up, and you know, it's called like in one document, it says unlimited guarantee, right? So he is on the hook, right? He's partly on the hook with his company for this $66 million. And again, this money goes back at least to 2019. And he came into Congress with it, right? And he came into Congress and his company was already in financial trouble. They like tried to swindle the SBA, it looks like, out of a $5 million loan that they couldn't pay back a $5 million loan during COVID while getting $1.2 million in PPP. You know, it's insane to unpack this stuff. And like, how is this guy getting money? How's this company getting money? But the operative part here is that he's never disclosed this debt on his financial disclosure forms, right? And, you know, typically you don't if it's business debt, but if you're personally liable for it, you have to disclose it, right? You have to say, hey, I'm a member of Congress. This is who I owe money to. This is who I'm indebted to. And he just happens to be indebted to a foreign lender up in Canada, right to the tune right now of $66 million, you know, and he's never disclosed that. And he is on the committees that are, you know, most closely associated with what his company is making money or trying to make money doing. Yeah. You know? And it seems like maybe despite his best efforts, you know, may not have.
So we've got the arms dealing. And then, as you mentioned, he has had some issues in his personal life with women, to say the least. I'm going to go through a couple of them. You wrote this story a while back, but about Mills. I mean, I guess this is one that first catches my eye, which is he takes a covert Afghanistan mission while he's in Congress. Yeah. Doing some exfil work, which I support in general. During that mission, he hired prostitutes in Afghanistan while he was in Congress on a covert exfil operation that turned also into a sex mission, I guess.
Sex mission. So like this is how he sort of like broke through the national conversation, right? On the right specifically. He was in the primary at this point. You know, his district had been redistricted, right? Stephanie Murphy was there. Yeah. It was a D district and opened up to be like what you were saying, you know, R plus 12 or whatever, R plus 17, I think was his first victory, right? And so he's like, oh, I'm going to seize on this and run for Congress. By the way, before this, like Corey had never talked about he never expressed any interest in like not just public office, but just politics generally, according to my reporting, sources who have known him for years. It was kind of a shock to them that he ran for Congress to begin with. It lines up with the loans, you know, go figure. But he had this opportunity from Ronnie Jackson, who, you know, said, hey, I've got this constituent who is in Afghanistan. This is August 2021. The withdrawal is happening and we need to get her out. So Corey joins up with this team of like experienced, like seasoned, like tacticians and special ops guys, like, you know, the real deal. And Corey, he was in the Army. He drove an ambulance in Iraq. He was a medic. He has wildly overstated his military record. And he presents himself like he's, you know, like, you know, Eric Prince or like Ethan Hunt or Jack Ryan, you know, like that's how he tries to come across in these, you know, public appearances and interviews. And he's like, I'm some like special ops guy. So he's attached to this like team of real veterans and they fly in and they get redirected to Tbilisi, Georgia. They get waved off the landing in Afghanistan. And while they're there, they're in a hotel staging this operation. And Corey's just hiring prostitutes like every night, you know, according to my sourcing, my reporting. It's like, and it really freaked them out because, you know, these are guys who are flying into this place, like really jacked up on adrenaline. And these are very serious people. And, you know, at the time they were actually really concerned about like, hey, like, this mission, we don't know how long it's going to take. We don't know how hairy it's going to get. And, you know, ones I talked to were like, we were actually prepared for like firefights and really preparing ourselves perhaps to get killed somewhere down the line. They didn't know how long they would be doing this. And Corey's just off, you know, like in a, on another planet. And he and his buddy are doing this, and it really, you know, it puts them off. But also, like, one of them was speaking Russian. Like, Georgia has its own language, right? You know, it's a former Soviet bloc. But one of these women was speaking Russian, according to my sourcing. And yeah, that was a huge red flag. You know, like, we're going into Afghanistan, a former, like, a Soviet protectorate. And, like, you know, this is a covert mission. And, yeah, it was just incredibly reckless and endangered, potentially, you know, could have endangered the lives of people he's with. But he goes on Fox News and becomes, like, a Fox News hero at the time because he's bashing Biden's State Department. You know, they messed all this up. They weren't there. This woman tried to get help from them, and, you know, they wouldn't do anything. And I've got FOIA records that have emails that are saying, like, we've been reaching out to her, and she says she wants to wait on Corey Mills, like, specifically, you know. And the way it's been presented to me with my sourcing is like, this was a huge just PR stunt. And it was so successful, yeah, though. You know, he's tried to replicate it also, like, while he's in office. He's tried to do rescues in Israel, Haiti. He flew helicopters into North Carolina. Like, he's really trying to present himself as much a member of the special forces as, like, a member of Congress, except it doesn't really seem to be the full story.
It seems like the Russian prostitutes every night does go against something else about him, which is that he's a secret Muslim. He, I guess, converted to Islam in 2014 when he married his current wife and didn't tell anybody. Doesn't talk about that.
Well, the operative word there is like is, right? Is he, like, now? Is he, you know, a Muslim? I don't know. From my reporting, it seems like Corey is like nothing, you know, that he doesn't actually have.
Did, like, his friends, the people you talked to, you know, the ones that you talked to said that he didn't have any interest in politics before. Like, what did they say about that? Like, his ex-wife and that marriage, like, is it real or?
So, you know, like, he's running as a Republican, right? Like a MAGA Republican. And this is why this whole thing is relevant, because, you know, a lot like George Santos, actually, like, George Santos, like, his story is actually pretty interesting, like, without the embellishment, right? Like, it's weird and nuanced. And, like, if he can, like, you know, carve some weird little lane in there, like, it's like, oh, that's weird and interesting. And, like, maybe I should, like, just.
Well, know, and he did the stealing from the old ladies and,
right,
and
I mean, like, there's stuff, and there's, like, other. Know. Right. I'm just saying, like, the biography. Right. And the biography of Corey Mills is pretty interesting on its own, but he denies so much of it, you know, and he did convert to Islam in 2014 for this marriage. His wife, they're divorcing now. They're still married, but divorcing. His wife was an Iraqi refugee. She actually helped the U.S. during the Operation Iraqi Freedom. You know, she's a translator there for the DOD and State Department. And, you know, she came over to the United States. They met up in D.C. And for the wedding, you know, she wanted a religious wedding. And in order to do that, he had to convert to Islam. And the wedding was held at this really, like, hardline mosque that's, you know, it's again, it's relevant because this is an issue that's politically like a third rail for Republicans. This mosque. The mosque was Anwar al-Awlaki's mosque, and the 9/11 hijackers attended that mosque, and the Fort Hood shooter has a connection to this mosque, and the mufti who married them was like allegedly a fundraiser for Hamas and alleged to be a co-conspirator in the 1993 World Trade Center bombing, you know, and they got married. I don't know if, you know, how much Mills actually took on of the faith itself, whether he was, you know, really practicing or into
seems
it.
Seems like not the sexual more.
At first blush, it's like, is this homeland, right? Is this homeland season one? But my reporting seems to, it's not quite like that, but he has denied it, right? He can't, I think politically it shows, like, he can't run as a MAGA Republican in that district and get through a primary if he's honest about that. It seems to be like some sort of, it's a political confession there. But yeah, he openly denies it, and he claims to be, you know, both a, you know, Protestant and Catholic affiliations at the same time. So
okay. Well, we barely scratched the surface of this, but I think we've given people a taste. You know, we have a MAGA Republican congressman here who is, you know, embellishing his record as a liar, as an arms dealer, while doing supposed oversight over his industry, has some sexual harassment and assault allegations, sleeping with Russian hookers on a covert trip to Afghanistan, and also may or may not be a secret Muslim who was married in Anwar al-Awlaki's church, mosque, rather. That's interesting. It's an interesting story. A lot to work with there. Roger, was there any other top points I missed? We'll send people, we'll put a link for the, to your Substack in the show notes for people who want the full story, want the full sermon.
Yeah. Read it. And again, like, be prepared to be exhausted, but I've got more stuff coming out. So yeah, I appreciate you supporting that, man. Thank you.
All right. We'll keep an eye on it. Thank you. That's Roger Sullenberger. Everybody else subscribe to this feed as well. We'll be seeing you soon.
Thanks, man.